Our scripture reading today will come from the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 23, and I'll begin reading at verse 49 and reading through chapter 24, verse 12. Luke chapter 23, beginning at verse 49, reading through chapter 24, verse 12. You can find the scripture reading on the back of the outline that I put in your bulletins, the insert, from Luke chapter 23. Let us pay careful attention to the reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. Now there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, a good and righteous man, who had not consented to their decision and action, and he was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb cut in stone, where no one had ever yet been laid. It was a day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come to him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Thus the reading of God's word today from the Gospel of Luke chapter 23 through chapter 24, verse 12. Well, congregation of our Lord Jesus, this week as I looked through my previous Resurrection Day sermons, I came to realize I've never preached on Easter Sunday on Luke's resurrection account. On previous Easter Sundays, I've preached on Jesus' resurrection from the Gospels of Matthew and Mark and John more than one time. But on Easter Sunday, I've never preached on the first 12 verses of Luke chapter 24. Now, that doesn't mean I haven't preached on Luke 24. In previous Easter Sundays, I've preached on other portions of Luke 24, verses 13 through 35, which is the account of the risen Lord Jesus and his appearance to the two men on the road to Emmaus. On a previous Easter Sunday, I've preached on Jesus' resurrection to his disciples, his appearance to them in verses 36 through 49 of Luke 24. But this week, in my preparation for this Resurrection Day sermon, I discovered that I'd never preached on Luke's empty tomb account that is described in verses 1 through 12 of Luke 24. And so I began my preparation this week asking myself why this one gospel account is the one I've left out. And then as I read through the text, I remembered that it's more than just not preaching on these verses, but every year on Easter, as our congregation gathers for Easter breakfast before the worship service, I pick out a resurrection tomb account to read before we open with prayer. And there's many times where since I was preaching on another gospel account, I turned to the Gospel of Luke, read through it, and decided not to read that one before the prayer. Well, what is it about this account of Jesus' resurrection from the Gospel of Luke that has caused me to put off preaching on these verses? On your outlines this morning, below the introduction, I've put two main reasons. The first reason is that Jesus does not appear at the tomb. All through the Gospel of Luke, the Lord Jesus has been the focus of the author's attention. From the birth narratives at Bethlehem to Jesus' public ministry, Jesus has been the focus of every text. Throughout the Gospel of Luke, it seems that everyone wants to hear and to see Jesus. And then even at the end, as Jesus is crucified on the cross, Luke's focus stays on Jesus and his crucified body all the way to his burial in the tomb at the end of chapter 23. And now when you come to the first 12 verses of Luke 24 that describe the tomb, how the tomb is empty, the risen Lord Jesus doesn't appear. And that's likely one reason why on previous Easter Sundays, instead of preaching on these first 12 verses, I have preached on the later verses of chapter 24 where the risen Lord Jesus appears twice. A second reason why these verses have not been preached on here at Sovereign Grace on Easter Sunday is because of the response of those in the text. When preaching on the resurrection on Easter Sunday, I recognize that with our Easter breakfast, we have some first-time visitors who are not Christians in attendance. And so I want to make the focus of the sermon not only on the resurrection, but the response to the resurrected Lord Jesus. He's resurrected from the dead, and we want to read and hear about those who saw the resurrected Lord and believed. And a quick reading of these verses would indicate that doesn't happen in the first 12 verses of Luke 24. In verse 4, we're told that when the women went to the empty tomb, the response was they were perplexed. In verse 10, after talking with the angels, when the women seemed to be finally convinced that Jesus rose from the dead, they went and told the 11. And the 11 disciples respond in verse 11 that it seemed to them like an idle tale. And they didn't believe it. And then the account ends in verse 12 with Peter, one of those 11 disciples, one of the disciples closest to Jesus, running to the tomb himself, looking inside. He sees the linen cloths by themselves without Jesus there. But Peter doesn't see the empty tomb and go home in faith. Instead, we read that Peter saw the tomb was empty, saw the linen cloth without Jesus, and he went home. The verse says, marveling at what happened. Now, that's not the kind of response to the resurrection that a preacher wants to preach about on Easter Sunday. You want to preach on a text where the people, especially the disciples that saw Jesus throughout his entire ministry, that saw him alive, resurrected from the dead, and they came to believe. And so because these first 12 verses about the empty tomb in Luke 24 don't have a resurrected Jesus in it, and because the verses end with the kind of uncertainty about whether the perplexed women, the non-believing apostles and disciples, or the marveling Peter ever really believed that Jesus rose from the dead, and because there's not much resurrection faith and joy in these verses, it just has always seemed to me that with the possibility of your uninvited Christian friends and neighbors present to preach on the resurrection of Jesus from another gospel or from later verses in Luke 24 where the resurrected Lord Jesus appears and people respond with joy and faith. And so with this as our text this morning, the question we're confronted with then is, why did God inspire the gospel writer of Luke to write the resurrection account of Jesus in this particular way? Why did God inspire Luke to write only about the empty tomb and keep the resurrected Lord Jesus, his resurrected body, hidden from those who went to the tomb? And why do we read in Luke's gospel that all those who went and saw the empty tomb did not respond in faith, but instead are perplexed, fearful, not believing, and one person marveling? You see, God has a reason for inspiring the gospel writer of Luke to write about the resurrection account in this particular way, a unique message from the other gospels. And if you listen carefully, you will find that God has a resurrection sermon message that still speaks not only to the initial readers of Luke's day, but more than 2,000 years later to any resurrection doubters of our day. And so let's begin this morning with what the women found. We read in verse 1 that on the first day of the week, at the early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. Now, who are these women? The first verse does not tell us their names as the other gospels do, but Luke doesn't list their names until verse 10. Now, we know with the spices that they had prepared that these are the same women that we heard about at the cross at the end of Luke chapter 23. In those verses, which I read to you a moment ago, verse 49 tells us that they had followed Jesus from Galilee as he went to the cross. These are the same women, then, that had stood at the distance in verse 49, watching as Jesus was crucified and died on the cross. In verse 55, we read that they saw Joseph of Arimathea take the body down from the cross and put the body in his own tomb. In verse 55, we read and are told that these same women then went to prepare the spices and the ointments for the body, which they would put on the body the next day. They had witnessed it all. They took the Sabbath rest there, we're told, at the end of verse 56. And the next morning, early in morning, these same women at dawn go to the tomb with the spices they prepared because they are expecting to put the spices on Jesus' body to dress it. In other words, when they go to the tomb in verse 1, they are not expecting a resurrection. They are expecting the dead body of Jesus to be there. Luke tells us in verse 2 that what they got when they got to the tomb, what they found. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, verse 2. And in verse 3, we're told they went into the tomb and they did not find the body of Jesus. And the beginning of verse 4 tells us the women's response. They were perplexed about this. In other words, they didn't understand. They were expecting to find a dead body, and the dead body isn't there, and they are perplexed. They have expected, with the spices they have in their hands, that the dead body of Jesus will be in the grave. Instead, they find the stone rolled away, the tomb empty, and no body of Jesus. And they're perplexed. A total loss as to what has happened. And so God sends the angels. Now, Luke doesn't actually tell us that they were angels. Look how he describes them in verse 4. And so while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men. Luke doesn't tell us they were angels, but two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. You see, Luke does not tell us they were angels, that they were men, because it shows that the women still do not understand. They did not understand and recognize that something supernatural from heaven is about to happen, or has happened, and they're about to see and understand. But the description of the clothing of these two men as dazzling in apparel indicates that they had come from glory. It's just that the women don't recognize them. And the men have a question for them in verse 5 that is only found at the empty tomb in Luke's gospel. Verse 5, and the women were frightened, and they bowed their faces to the ground. And the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? The women were first perplexed when they saw the empty tomb. when they saw the two men in dazzling apparel, we know it's heavenly apparel. Later on in Luke chapter 24, the two men from Emmaus on the road will say that they were angels. So the women did get it. But their first response to these two men in dazzling apparel is that they are frightened. And the two men, after they bow their faces to the ground, ask them this question: why do you look for the living among the dead? You see, these two men are pointing out to the women that they had gone to the tomb expecting to find Jesus' dead body. But Jesus is not dead at the tomb. They're looking in the wrong place. They're looking for Jesus at the tomb where the dead are. Jesus is among the living. And why do they go on to say in verses 6 and 7, he is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and crucified, and on the third day rise. What Luke records the angels saying to the women is unique in this empty tomb account from the Gospel of Luke. And it's a key as to why Jesus does not make an appearance at the tomb in Luke's gospel. The women have seen the stone rolled away. The women have found no body in the grave. The angels do not have the risen body to show them. And unlike the other gospels, the angels do not tell them to go to Galilee where they will see him. But instead, in Luke's gospel, Luke directly, uniquely directs the women through the angels to remember what Jesus said. At Jesus' empty tomb, the angels from heaven direct them to Jesus' word. And what did the women previously hear Jesus say? I put those verses on your outlines this morning. When Jesus was in Galilee, in the front of your outlines under B2, when Jesus was in Galilee, in Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 21, Jesus said, he strictly charged and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And later, in Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 32, for he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit on. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise. But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. The angels are reminding the women of Jesus' previous words. And then they even repeat Jesus' previous words in verses 6 and 7. He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and crucified and on the third day rise. In front of the empty tomb, the women find no body. And the angels are reminding the women to believe what Jesus said would happen. The empty tomb with no body has perplexed them until they are directed to remembering Jesus' spoken word. The angels are pointing out that they are perplexed because they have not remembered and believed Jesus' spoken word. Do you see how God inspired the gospel writer of Luke to draw out this point? The gospel writer of Luke, who writes his gospel with a book of Acts as his second book, a book of Acts that is written about the Gentile witness to the ends of the earth, an audience in mind as the gospel of writer of Luke is writing these words. He writes about an empty tomb with no resurrection appearance of Jesus. But at the empty tomb, Luke uniquely has the angels repeat to the women the words that Jesus said, that he would rise. And so the angels from heaven are saying to the women and to the early church in Acts, and to the church today, the point of recognition concerning the resurrection of Jesus for those who were not actually there and saw the body risen and alive is to believe the words that Jesus said. He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and crucified, and on the third day he shall rise. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ has risen and ascended unto heaven. And today, and in that early church, as the gospel was proclaimed from Luke throughout the book of Acts, they gave witness and testimony that Jesus rose and that Jesus went to heaven. But the people that were hearing it could not see the resurrected body like those firsthand witnesses did. But they were directed by the apostles to what Jesus said. Jesus said that he would die on the cross and rise again. And God, through his Spirit, works through his word so that people will come to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for their sins and rose again. Well, let's now look at some of the responses to the empty tomb in Luke's gospel. First, the women at the beginning of verse 8, they remembered his words. At once, the women remembered the words of Jesus, and when the angels repeated it to them, they're no longer perplexed. And once they remember the words of Jesus, God's Spirit has opened their hearts and their minds to believe. Because look what they do at the end of verse 9. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and the rest. And what was it that the women told the 11? The women were witnesses at the cross when Jesus died, Luke 23, 49. The women were witnesses at the tomb when Joseph laid his body in the tomb, verse 55. And now the women are witnesses at the tomb that the stone is rolled away, that the body is no longer there. And now, having been directed by the angels, they remembered his words that Jesus had said to them. Jesus told them he would be crucified and die on the cross and rise from the dead. And they told the 11 and all the rest what they had witnessed. And then Luke finally gives us their names. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women who told these things to the apostles. You see, unlike the other gospels where the women's names are given in the first verse before they see the empty tomb, Luke finally identifies the women by name in the 10th verse as they're giving testimony to what they have witnessed and saw and have now come to believe. He waits to give us the names so as they appear to the apostles, to the disciples, to the 11, and that list of names is before them, we know they are credible witnesses. Mary Magdalene, one of those women closest to Jesus. Mary, the mother of James, who we believe is Jesus' mother. These are not just any women who have witnessed this. And Luke tells us the names in verse 10 as they're giving their testimony. Well, what then was the disciples' response? In verse 11, but these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. At first, for the 11 who had heard Jesus say the same words, it sounded like an idle tale or nonsense to them. Even though Jesus had told it to them twice, it sounded like to the women, including Jesus' mother, who said it, they're out of their minds. But they had not only heard it from Jesus, they heard it from the women, that what Jesus said was true, and they had seen it. But at the end of verse 11, it tells us, even then, they still did not believe it. And then there's Peter's response in verse 12. Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Peter's response is that he wants to investigate. He wants to check things out for himself because he wants to understand. He heard from the women, Joseph wrapped the body in linen cloths. Jesus' body was placed in the tomb. He wanted to go see for himself if the tomb was empty. And after searching it out and going to the tomb himself, seeing the linen cloths in the tomb without Jesus. And he went home, we're told, marveling at what had happened. The text doesn't say he went home believing that Jesus rose. He went home marveling at what had happened. You see, Peter's response is that he wants to understand. He wants more than just what he heard from the women. He knows what Jesus had said. He knows what the women had said. He went to the empty tomb. He saw the linen cloths, and now he goes home marveling to think it all through. But for Peter, even though he's heard the testimony, even though he's gone to investigate, there's still something missing. And what's missing for him? At the beginning of our sermon today, we asked these questions. Why does God inspire the gospel writer of Luke not to include the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ at the empty tomb? And why does Luke tell the church in such a way that the women are perplexed? The disciples, the future apostles, don't believe it. And even Peter is left marveling. Because at the empty tomb, Luke wants his early church readers and readers like you and me today, more than 2,000 years later, to stand in the shoes of those who stood at Jesus' empty tomb. The women went to the tomb expecting to find Jesus' dead body. When they arrived, they found the stone was rolled away. They looked inside. They found this tomb was empty. And Luke leaves out the appearance of the risen Lord Jesus to them. He doesn't have the angels direct them to go to Galilee to see him. Instead, God inspires the gospel writer of Luke alone to have the angels direct the women to remember Jesus' words. Those words they repeat in verse 7. Remember what he told you in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and rise on the third day. And they remembered his words. Through Jesus' words, the Spirit opened their minds to remember and believe the words that Jesus rose from the dead. And the women were so confident of Jesus' death and resurrection that they had witnessed, they went and told the 11 disciples. The disciples at first thought it was an idle tale. They don't believe it. Peter investigates further and marvels, but then God inspires the gospel writer of Luke to go on in chapter 24 to be the only gospel writer to tell us about Jesus' appearance to the men on the road to Emmaus. And what do we read in Luke 24? The verses 13 through 35, the two men on the road to Emmaus meet the risen Lord, but their eyes are not opened as Jesus is walking with them. And when Jesus asks them what is troubling them, they tell Jesus. They tell the resurrected Jesus, who they don't recognize, the whole gospel story of his death and his resurrection and the empty tomb. They know the gospel. They just don't believe it. Something is missing. And then Jesus said to them, I put it on the back of your outlines this morning, Luke 24, beginning at verse 25. And Jesus said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He opened the Old Testament and he pointed out that the books of Moses, that the prophets were all about, the salvation that had been accomplished, his death and resurrection. And later, verses 31 to 32, those verses are on there too. When they broke bread, their eyes, verse 31, were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? Jesus told them that all the Old Testament scriptures were about him, and now they've come with the Spirit's work through the Word, opening their eyes to see and believe, and now they know. And later, when he appears to the disciples in Luke 24, verses 36 to 49, again we read in verse 44 and 45 on the back of your outlines, then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. You see how Jesus uses the scriptures, the law of Moses, the prophets, the Psalms. He tells them how those Old Testament books were all about him and all about what God had determined he would accomplish through his death and through his resurrection, the salvation of God. And God used his word to open the minds and the hearts of the listeners to come to see and understand and know that Jesus rose from the dead. The first 12 verses of Luke 24 that describe Luke's account of the empty tomb has no appearance of the risen Lord. It has uniquely, with the angels, directing the women to believe Jesus' word. And then when Jesus appears to the men on the road to Emmaus, he directs them to read the Old Testament scriptures, which are about his death and resurrection for their salvation. And when he appears to the disciples, the gospel writer of Luke uniquely records and opens up the scriptures that they're all about him and his death and resurrection. And the Spirit works through the Word to open their hearts to believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead. Those are the responses of those in the text that went to the empty tomb as Luke records it. But now you have to ask yourself, what is your response today? And that brings us back to where we started our sermon this morning. I started out the sermon today telling you about this week when I discovered that in past years, I had not preached on Luke's resurrection account on Easter Sunday because the resurrected Lord does not appear in the text, and the lack of faith in the response of the witnesses. But now, and hopefully you, have come to understand why God inspired the author, the gospel writer of Luke, to write it this way. At the empty tomb, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ remains veiled in Luke's gospel, hidden until those who are perplexed are reminded of his words. Hidden until those who were his closest disciples, upon hearing the testimony of the women who first thought it was an idle tale and then investigated it but still only marveled, had their hearts and minds opened when Jesus directed them to the scriptures. In the Bible, you have been given the same words that Jesus said to the angels, and that the angel, or that Jesus said through the angels again to the women. Remember what he told you in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise. With the knowledge of the empty tomb, do those words leave you perplexed? Do those words, does the gospel, Jesus died and rose again to pay for the sins of all of his people, does that sound like an idle tale? Are you going to investigate further or dismiss them? How can you go to the empty tomb today? How can you see the resurrected Lord? He's ascended into heaven. God has given you the words that Jesus said. I recently heard about a Christian author who wrote an article where he wrote about how over the course of many years, he has tried to witness to a good number of well-educated people that have flat-out rejected Christianity. And he wrote that as he found, as he pursued them in conversation, that many of those who flat-out rejected the gospel and Jesus' resurrection have never actually read the Bible or had the biblical account of Jesus' death and resurrection explained to them. You see, there is much we can learn from Peter's desire to know more and to investigate. And God has given us the scriptures to go to investigate. You don't have to walk away from Luke's empty tomb account marveling, contemplating, but not believing. Today, when you investigate by going to God's Word, the gospel writer of Luke in his account is challenging you, is reminding you that you can stand in the shoes of those who stood before the empty tomb. Jesus has ascended into heaven, but 2,000 years later, more than 2,000 years later, you have been given His Word. Like the women and disciples, God's Spirit must first open your heart and minds to believe Jesus' words. And their lack of faith, and later their boldness to proclaim Jesus' resurrection in the book of Acts, gives us and all of Luke's readers hope that when the gospel is proclaimed and people are directed to Jesus' words, Old Testament and New, God's Spirit works through His Word to open your eyes and ears to anyone to believe in the resurrection, even though it may first sound to them like an idle tale. And God's Spirit works through His Word and gives His people the gift of faith so that you can believe the promise that not only did Jesus rise from the dead, but someday when He comes back, all of His people who believe that He died on the cross for their sins and rose from the grave, they too will rise from the dead. And if you believe in Him and the salvation He has come to give, you will rise with Him. Amen. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we thank You today for the way the Scriptures from the Gospel of Luke help us to see what You have given us in Your Word. Lord, as we see the resurrected Lord hidden at first, and later revealed through Your Word, Father, we see ourselves. For more than 2,000 years later, we have Your Word. We have Your truth. We have the Gospels which tell us about our Savior who died and who rose again. And Lord, even though we live in a world that is skeptical about the supernatural aspects of Christianity, Father, Your Spirit works through Your Word to open hearts, to open eyes, to open ears, to clearly understand the gospel of salvation that has come in Christ Jesus. Father, we can know that though we are sinners, our sins are washed away by His death on the cross. We can know by way of His resurrection, Lord, that we too have been raised, that we're no longer lost in sin, that we're no longer enslaved to our sin, that, Lord, even though we are sinners, and Your Word tells us that the wages of sin is death, in Christ Jesus, we have been saved from death. Father, we pray that Your Word would be at work in our lives and in our hearts, Father, that we would see and clearly come to know and understand in our lives each day the power of your resurrection at work in us, that your resurrection power would enable us to know more and more each day that our sinful nature has been defeated, that death has been defeated, that in Christ Jesus we have been given life and freedom from slavery to sin, and that, Lord, we long to someday go to be with him where there is no sin. Father, we pray that as we have read about Jesus' resurrection, you may enable us as your people to have our focus on not only his first coming and first resurrection, but when he comes again. Lord, when he comes in the clouds of the sky, when all the dead will be raised up, and those who have known Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior will go to be with him, body and soul, in heaven forevermore. Father, grant us this knowledge. Grant us this peace. Bless us this resurrection day with the joy that can only be found in him. We pray all this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.